T-shirt that's back there. We're, as it's already been said, we're in a season of gearing up. It's a bunch of growing and going, and so you don't want to miss out, and especially the next few weeks of information, because the kingdom of Jesus is expanding. It's expanding in our midst, and you have the wonderful opportunity, if you so choose, to take the challenge, if you will, to join us in expanding the kingdom and doing that together. So we want to invite you to do that. I want to thank Pastor Sherry at the beginning of this month for taking a couple of weeks while I was taking a couple of weeks on vacation and speaking. If you didn't get an opportunity to hear her messages, you can go online, check them out online, or even through our app. You can go to your app store and download our app there and get it through the app. Or you can even go to iTunes. Do they still call it iTunes? I have no idea. But you can get it there too, and we would love for you to be able to pick up on the series. Well, on the front of your handout is a place to take notes. And while from time to time I would like to hope that I say something that's pretty profound, it's far and few between, I get that. But most importantly, and it's already been leaned into, and I want you to hear this, we come with a great expectation that the Holy Spirit is not just speaking to a few, but he wishes to speak to you. And so, as you take notes, it's really not more about you taking notes about what the Holy Spirit's impressing on you. And so we would love for you to go ahead and do that. And again, like we said, we come with a great expectation and an anticipation, because I don't know about you, I need it. In fact, I was just thinking as we were singing, and I was hearing voices behind me singing, that this is probably one of the places and spaces that is that I come and I get rejuvenated. I really do. To be able to sing together, to be able to celebrate together, to be able to be unified in voice is just one. It really is one of the disciplines that we sometimes forget about. We forget to engage in. And I just want to encourage you to do that. Well, we are in a summer series called Simple and Ordinary. And I want you to help me out this morning if you could. I have a couple of questions, and we are going to talk about unhurried waiting, but what did you wait for this week? What did you wait for this week, and how well did you wait? What did you wait for, and how well did you wait? While you're thinking about that, let me just share a few places that I had to wait. Maybe you did too, and you're kind of bringing them to the front of your minds. I had to wait to go get my hairs cut. Yeah, hairs, because it's not just one. It really is. I did pretty well there, because when I got there, you know, I couldn't get on. They don't have an app. Some of the places have apps where you can get, and you can get in your queue. They didn't have an app, but they got me right in. I was really pleased by that. Didn't have to wait. A couple of times this morning, or a couple of times this week, I was making my coffee, making coffee for us in the house, and have you ever put the water through before you put the grounds in? Yeah, I had to figure out, I had to stop and think before coffee how to reverse that process. I had to stop that. That was a rough morning, I just have to admit. Traffic, well, there's always traffic. And can I just tell you that, you know, summertime, we were just noting this in office, that in the summertime, the traffic really does decrease considerably for various reasons. And I thought, what was going on at 6:30 in the morning on I-94 heading into Ann Arbor? It wasn't slowed down at all, but it was just side by side. I mean, there's traffic, right? And sometimes you have to wait in traffic. I do fairly well there because I try to avoid it as much as I possibly can. But what about this one? You know, there's always that call you make, or that email you send out, or you're waiting for that response. And there are a couple of those situations this week. I just didn't do so well. You know, I want my answers when I want my answers. You know what I'm saying? And so maybe you're that way too. So what about you? What did you wait for this week, and how well did you wait? So do you have something in your mind? So this is what I want you to do. I know Kathy gave you a little exercise to say hi to one another. Go ahead and stand up. Go ahead and stand up. I want you to find somebody you have not talked to this morning, have not introduced yourself. Maybe you don't even know who they are, and you need to introduce yourself. I want you to do that and then answer the question one for each other. I'll give you time. Go. So if you've exchanged your stories, you could go find your seats. That would be great. If you're still talking, go ahead and finish out your stories. So as you can tell by the picture on the screen, we wait for a lot of things, and we wait in a lot of places, and I like the one in the corner where the guy's nose is over the water. When we want it to boil, it just doesn't boil fast enough. I mean, come on, right? I mean, we just do that. Tish Warren Harrison says this: for the good of my own soul, I need to feel what it's like to know, I need to feel what it's like to wait, to let the moments march past. I don't know. I'm not there always. I just, come on. Can it just be a little bit quicker? Can it be a little bit faster? And maybe that's how you felt this week. You're just like, really, Lord? Quicker, now, in the moment, right? So if you're here this morning and you're investigating God, Jesus, the Bible, the church, we're so glad that you're with us. As one of the main ways that we understand God, as one of the main ways we understand Jesus, as one of the main ways we understand even how the church is to function, we have to look to another source than ourselves. We're not real good at that. We have to look at the Bible. And so we're going to be taking a look and the Bible this morning to James chapter 5. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and pull it out. It's found in the right side of your Bible, or in the New Covenant or the New Testament or whatever you want to say. And it's, if you want to know the page number, it's 856 in the Pew Bible in front of you. So go ahead and grab one there. James was this half-brother of Jesus. And I'll just ask these three, I'll just say this. Can you imagine? Yeah, right. None of us can. None of us can. There are a lot of jokes. You can fill them in. We know that James was not as convinced in the early onset of his days that Jesus was the Messiah. There's a passage of scripture in Matthew chapter 12 where Jesus is doing some teaching, and mom and family think that Jesus just may need some reeling in. And so we know for a fact that everything that Jesus did wasn't really perceived rightly by the family. And so this becomes a great place. So if you're struggling with faith, this is part of the reason I bring this up. If you're struggling in the idea of faith and the idea of Jesus and the idea of the resurrection and death and all that, James becomes one of the great places to start and one of the places to park yourself. Because James came around, and you just don't generally throw yourself at things and into things and give your life away in a way like that. But he is a great proof. But James is the writer, half-brother of Jesus, of this letter that we're looking at. It's included in the Bible, and in the back of this letter, at the very end of the letter, he gives us some words, some parting words, not only to us, but those there that he's writing to, about waiting. Now, just to understand what's happening in this passage, and we're not going to deal heavily with it, they were under a great amount of pressure. There were opposition on all sides. They were being pressured in many different ways. And he's saying, just hold on, just wait. But not just wait in any way. Really, he doesn't use the word unhurried. He uses the word patient. But really, this waiting. See, we can wait in a lot of different ways. I'm pretty good at waiting, but I can stew while I wait. Somebody there? Like fret and get anxious and get all wound up, right? But unhurried waiting is something vastly different. Something vastly different, and it has to occur outside of ourselves. It cannot occur within us, Because left to our own devices, we will wind ourselves up like a rubber band. We will wind ourselves up like a rubber band. So, let's turn to James chapter 5. I'm starting in the 7th verse. He says this, "Be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. And here's how he tells us what it means to be patient. These are the illustrations. "See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains. You too, be patient and stand firm because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Brothers and sisters, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke the name of the Lord." In verse 11, "As you know, we count as blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy." So what is James telling us about waiting in this passage? James tells us that we need to wait like a farmer. We need to wait like a farmer. This idea of waiting with expectation. I really enjoy the market. How many people like to go to Meijer or to Walmart? Yeah, we like to go to the market and pick up our stuff, right? Our goods. We like to eat. Some of us like to go to the farmer's market even, and we like to get our goods. Maybe we think we're getting it, and sometimes we are, sometimes we're not, by the way. We're getting the goods from the farmer who actually produced the goods, right? We just love that. But can I just tell you, I think this is true for most of us in here. None of us make our way in life through farming. None of us in this room. We have no clue what it means to wait like a farmer anymore. We're not an agrarian society. I think that's true. Somebody's going to come up to me and say, no, that's not true. Some of us have done that, but we aren't currently. We don't make it that way. We don't know what it means to wait like a farmer. We've not had to till the soil for our livelihood. Or maybe we did and we don't anymore for the very reason of what we're talking about. You know, many of our vocational and educational pursuits have great levels of control. Did you know that? So when a student comes to me in my own home and says, "I didn't know it was going to be on the test," I'm like, "Don't give me that." Really, I mean, come on. You may not have studied that, but more than likely it was spoken of in the class. There are variables of control, right? Even in our vocations, there's usually an expectation, and then there's the expectation you'll live up to whatever that is. We have a lot of controls in many of the vocations that we have. Not complete, but we have a lot of controls that are ours to own. It's incredible. But a farmer, there are a lot of variables that are outside of their control. Weather is one of them. One of them that we know all too well that bears down on us when we go to the farmer's market or we go to the grocery store and we say, "What in the world? Why am I paying this for that?" Right? So what is James trying to tell us? Waiting is something different though. So a farmer learns to wait in an unhurried manner. They generally learn, if they're going to do it vocationally for the rest of their lives, they generally learn not to fret about a bad season. They do. They just know that they have to bank it. They have to live in it. That's part of living the life that they're in. And I think that's part of what James is trying to say, is that if you're a farmer, there's going to be some tough years. There's going to be some great years. But you learn to wait with expectation. If you put the seed in the ground, you expect with anticipation that it is going to come out of the ground. In fact, I kind of had this idea that some farmers actually just listened for it to just kind of emerge. And some of them do. Maybe not with their ears, but with how they live and how they work. And this is what James is trying to tell us, I think, is waiting is not wondering when it comes to the ways of God. a farmer has this expectation, and that's really the terminology in there that we find. There's this living expectation of hope that will bear fruit. So we too should be as farmers who ready the soil and plant the seed, but know that the crop will be coming. I don't know what you're waiting for. What are you asking for? What are you pursuing? I don't know what it is. But if it's of the Lord and it's within his kingdom's realm to give you, he will give you eventually. I believe that will happen. So we too must have this same expectation. And that's what James is trying to tell us. The other side of it too is that crops aren't immediate. They're just not immediate. We tend to live in this instant microwave society, and it takes a while for things to process and to move towards growth. That the kingdom's purposes, James is just trying to tell us, are worked out over long periods of time. We're not prone to give in as people of God, as followers of Jesus. We're not prone to give in quickly, but we're to be in for the long haul. So what's the crop that James is talking about? What are they waiting for? Well, their faith to personally grow, that's one of it, and so is it ours. That's ours. But it's also that the crop that they planted in other people would come to fruition, that they would come to know Jesus and live out the kingdom in the way that they should. Saying, hang in there. Just like a farmer, whatever you're asking for and pursuing in a godly manner that is of God, you will reap that valuable crop. James continues. He says, We need to wait like a prophet. We need to wait like a prophet. Now, there are a few prophets that we could tune in and dial in, and we realize that they don't wait too well, or it doesn't seem that they did. Jeremiah is one of those. But there are prophets that waited. And this is what he says. I want to remind us of the verse. He says, we are to wait like a prophet stating as an example, this is scripture, of patience in the face of suffering. Take the prophets who spoke the name of the Lord. In the midst of their suffering and waiting, they didn't just sit in it. They continued to spread the seed of Jesus or of the seed of God. And we too are in this unhurried waiting. It's not that we're not doing anything. It's we're doing the very things that we have been called to do from the very beginning. To cultivate our first love of God, and then to cultivate and spread the seed of Jesus' love to all people. That's what we're called to do. And the prophets did this too. This is their call on them. We are to also wait like Job. Wait like Job. And this one may be the most painful for all of us. If we're familiar with Job's story at all, it's not one of complete pleasantries at all. But James drives a message of unhurried waiting in with Job, and he just drives it deeply, and he wants us to get it. If we know the guy, Job, he persevered and he received what we all hungered for. He persevered and he received what we all hungered for, and that is compassion and mercy from God. Not necessarily that all everything was replaced. You can read that in Job, but that he received compassion and mercy from God. And this is the key. While Job waited, it was how he waited that should catch our attention. It caught the attention of his friends who were less patient and wanted to encourage him to, well, blame God, to curse God, right? He didn't turn away. And this came after, you know, a raid took his farmhands and killed them all. Then a fire burned up his sheep and his shepherds. And then he hears another messenger who comes and says, hey, there's this wind in the wilderness, and it just swept in out of the wilderness, and it collapsed the house, and all your kids are gone. None of them survived. And yet what we see in the way he worshiped is this. In Job 1, 20 through 21, it says, "Then Job arose," right after getting this message, "he arose and tore his robe and shaved his head and fell on the ground and worshiped. And he said, 'Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gives, the Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord.'" It doesn't just stop there. In Job 13:15, he said, "Though he slay me," speaking God, "I will hope in God," or him. And in Job 19:25, it says, "For I knew that my Redeemer lives. At last he will stand upon the earth." James is saying we are to be people who worship like Job in the midst of our waiting, in the midst of even our suffering. Our worship, undefiled, should go to God. Unhurried waiting is worshiping in a hope that does not disappoint, a hope that is placed in Yahweh, the Creator God. While Job had his conversations with God, his hope and faith did not change in Yahweh. Job becomes a catalyst for change in the Lord with his friends. And if you read the last chapter, he becomes the mediator, if you will, between he and his friends to restore their relationship, because he kept his relationship with the Lord, did not let it go, stayed in the community of faith. Job honored Yahweh with his worship, and in turn, Yahweh blessed Job. The theme of waiting for the Lord and how one waits for the Lord is vital to our relationship. It's vital to our living and following Jesus and to our vitality personally. As we live out an unhurried waiting, there is vitality, there is power, there is strength given to those who live in an unhurried waiting. Isaiah tells us what will transpire when we place our hope in him. In fact, we sang it earlier, but we're going to say it together now. I'm going to read the white, and then we'll all read the yellow together. It says this in Isaiah 40, 28 and following. "Do you not know? Have you not heard?" Will you recite it with me? "The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired and weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men and women stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." You see, hope is the rope of security in our waiting. Hope is the rope of security in our waiting. This is a picture of Tommy Caldwell, who scaled the Dawn Wall. It's in it's El Capitan. It's a Yosemite National Park. And what you don't see is that there is actually a rope that's underneath him, not above him. And see, when we wait, this is how we can sometimes feel. We're just holding on for dear life, but we forget that the hope we have in the Lord is actually our secure rope. It will not let us fall. There actually is a movie called The Dawn Wall, if you're interested in this. And the incredible thing is that he and his partner waited on the wall through storms, through multiple tries at various ways to get where he wanted to go. But they waited, and they waited, and they persevered, and they made it. And the rope was his security. Now, I don't think Tommy, as far as I know, knows Jesus. But for me, the rope is Jesus. He's the secure rope we have. And when we place our hope in him, when we place our lives in him, we then have the ability to go, you know what? I can be harried in my waiting. I can be anxious in my waiting. I can be unnerved in my waiting. But you know what? I don't need to be. Because there's one working on my behalf. He is Jesus. He's Creator God. He's Father. And my hope is in him alone. We forget to put our hope in Jesus Christ alone. When we lose sight of that, we then start to feel anxious. We start to worry. We start to concern ourselves with nothing that is concerning to us. I mean, it really is interesting. I find myself, when I'm distracted, that's a kind way to say that I've lost my attention and affection for Jesus. When I'm distracted, all of a sudden, I start to get anxious. I start to get nervous. I start to worry about things that have no concern of mine. But when I put my attention and my hope in Jesus, the waiting for whatever I'm waiting for, and there are many things in my life I am, just becomes a patient waiting that Job had. The ability of a farmer to be able to know with expectation that the Lord, I'm putting my faith not in the ground, but in the Lord. I'm waiting for him is where we need to be. And in the idea of the prophets, that I have a task even as I'm waiting. My task is to make sure that, and your task is too, by the way, just because I'm vocationally in it. Your task is the same, is to make sure people know about Jesus Christ. The very hope in which you have, in which I have. Huh. I love that. So what do we do next? If this is the case, and most of us in our waiting, we're distracted. Let's just use the kind word, distracted in our waiting. And so we get anxious and nervous and we fret and start biting our fingernails. All of those things. Some of those things, I get it. There are some other ways to help those. But what do we need to do? How do we assess ourselves if we're in a place of waiting? Well, I fell upon just three scriptures this morning. There are many more that we could do. But three scriptures to ask ourselves. We know that 1 Corinthians 13:4 says, love is patient and love is kind. So the question to ask yourself with the Holy Spirit's counsel and guidance is, how patient have I been in my waiting? How many people have I talked to who can't give me an answer on this? Right? I just want to frenetically keep talking. And I haven't taken it to the Lord. Where have I been? Where have I railroaded somebody this week? Because I'm waiting for something and it's just, love's not coming out of me because of the anxiousness, because of the worry. See, they contaminate our very souls. Love is patient. How am I doing? It says, I waited patiently, Psalm 41. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. Can I ask you, have you heard from the Lord? You may be waiting, but have you heard from the Lord? Are you just going on ahead, or are you just not going? You see, I think the Lord wants to speak to you. He gave us the Holy Spirit. He wishes us to step into it, to listen for it. And instead of in our frustration, in our hurried waiting, not in our unhurried waking, we say things, we do things, and we're not hearing from the Lord. So have you heard from the Lord and which direction you should go? Unhurried waiting will give us confidence in our steps and courage in our obedience. When we are unsure of the direction, we falter in our faithfulness. Jesus will always guide to greater obedience and in greater faith. Always, 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 always. Last one, Lamentations 3:24. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. Now maybe I should have started with this one first, but is the Lord your portion? And when it says the Lord is my portion, it means my one and only, my Lord, my God, he is center. Is he yours? You see, we can't wait patiently. We can't wait patiently without a hope and something or someone, in this case, someone else, God, outside of ourselves. We do not have that ability. We can look calm on the outside, but we can be harried on the inside. Is the Lord your portion? Have you said yes to Jesus? Is he your Lord and Savior? You see, that's the question. Have you surrendered your life to him so that you can have a different way of living that's not worried, that's not anxious? That's a pace of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we are grateful for your patient waiting for us and pursuit of us. Father, you just show it over and over again. We're grateful for your timing of deliverance. Yet, Father, we have to confess there's a hurry within us. A hurry in our waiting, a worry in our waiting. There's an anxiousness in our waiting, which we come to understand as a great undoing of what you want to see us to be in you. Not do, but be in you. And Father, we can feel it in the very simple and ordinary things of life. When we're out of pace and we're out of step with you, we can feel it when we're in traffic and the rage starts to come up. We can feel it when we're not getting an answer when we want to have an answer, or things done when we expect them to be done. Father, you have promised your Holy Spirit to help us so that we can have this uncanny and uncultural way of doing life, an unhurried waiting. Lord, would you forgive us for that? Would you, Father, now allow your Holy Spirit to help us in that? We step into the Holy Spirit, and Lord, we ask the Holy Spirit to speak into those places. For those of you this morning who have yet to say, the Lord is my portion, he's my Lord and Savior, this morning is for you. The prayer that's on the screen is a prayer of saying yes to Jesus. Maybe it's yours this morning. If you want to pray it with me, is that you say yes to Jesus and to a life and a pace of unhurried waiting, pray it with me. Heavenly Father, thank you for your mercy, grace, and love found in and through Jesus. Save me and forgive me for my sins. I give you my life and choose to follow, love, and live for you in Jesus' name. Father, we are so, so grateful that you gave us a life that is not like any other, that's empowered by the Holy Spirit and the ability to walk in the ways, well, in a ways like Jesus did, unhurried, waiting, knowing that our hope is found in you. Father, we thank you for that. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen.